Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And a few days after the earthquake, the Obama administration extended eligibility for temporary protected status. That's what it's called, if you're not familiar with this, to Haitians living in the United States illegally. That means Haitians here, undocumented, can stay and work for the next 18 months without the threat of being deported. But it is temporary. And so people have been asking, why should a Haitian living in the U.S. illegally come out from the shadows to apply for temporary protected status? So we invited a representative from the Legal Aid Society, which is doing a lot of the work on this, to join us to help clarify the process and point people to resources that can help. Jojo Annabelle, attorney in charge of the Legal Aid Society Immigration Law Unit, joins us now. Jojo, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
And we will take phone calls from Haitian Americans with your questions. We can give you a little free legal advice here on the radio, 212-433-9692. And can I start with that basic question? Because it's temporary protected status, because it expires in 18 months if the government doesn't choose to renew it, is a Haitian who comes forward undocumented and registers for it putting him or herself at risk?
I don't think so, Brian, because I think that, first of all, what it does is temporary protected status, if it's approved for an individual, allows that person to get an employment authorization document, which allows that person to work. It allows that person through that to get a social security number. It also serves as an ID. But I think historically what Haitian nationals have to realize is that countries that have been designated as temporary protected status, usually the government has usually extended these designations because these situations are ongoing and it takes time for those countries or situations to stabilize. And so, for example, Honduras was designated a temporary protected status back in January of 1999, and they still have that status.
After a hurricane there was the precipitating event, right?
Exactly. And it's been extended, so they've had it for 11 years.
And I think El Salvador similarly, correct?
El Salvador has had it for 9 years.
Has it ever been removed?
Liberia, I believe Montserrat was one country where it was removed, and they were given advance notice of it that they were going to remove it. Liberia came also very close until President Bush designated them for what they called a deferred enforcement departure, and so it's similar to TPS, and so they are also still eligible to live here. So I think anyone who is sitting on the fence and thinking, why should I do it? I think it's beneficial to you. It allows you to work, and it prevents people from being removed or being detained because they are here illegally.
So what's the first thing that somebody should do if they're hearing this and are here illegally and think, okay, I'm going to stick my toe in this water?
The first thing the person has to do is, the law requires that you have to prove that you're a national of Haiti. And so you need a passport or a birth certificate or a national identity document. You also need to prove that you entered the country, and usually by entry mean that you've been here since January 12th this year. And so you need either people have passports, which shows that they entered sometime before 2010, January 12th. There are some people who can show employment records, people who can show school records, birth certificates for children, and hospital records or medical records to prove that they've been here and continue to reside here. Phone bills, cell phone bills are good. And so I would encourage them to collect these documents. And we have sites in Brooklyn. There's an event coming on in Brooklyn this week on Saturday at PS 181. And come and let us help you. We'll be able to assess eligibility, and we'll be able to advise them accordingly.
Listeners, Haitian listeners, Call us, 212-433-WNYC, if you want to ask about temporary protected status, or in these next few minutes, any other immigration questions post-earthquake, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Joe in the Village, you're on WNYC. Hello. Joe, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Joe, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Brian. The question I have is that if I have a child with their aunt and uncle in Haiti, and both guardians died from the earthquake, and I'm sure a lot of other Haitians have similar problems, is there anything we can be done for that child to come here that we can apply for them, that they can live here with us? And another question I have is that there's about 15 to 20% of white Haitians who live in a country. In the earthquake, we didn't see anything if they got injured, if their houses, there are Haitian bourgeois who lives in the country, Haitian millionaires and billionaires. They didn't show anything about those Haitians. They only show only a little section of Haiti. Why is that? And also, I have a message for all the black, for first sort of Haitians, because the majority of the Haitians, they believe in voodoo. I strongly believe God allowed this to happen.
Joe, we're gonna leave the religious segment out of our legal advice show. So, you know, people will make their own judgments about that. But JoJo Annabelle, what about the nephew?
The orphan nephew. Exactly. So what the U.S. government has said is that they will grant humanitarian parole to orphans who, at some prior to this earthquake, people who had applications pending. And so, for example, children who had been identified as orphans and were eligible for inter-country adoption by the Haiti government, or children who had been identified by an adoption agency, and so basically meaning that they had paperwork pending, they would grant them humanitarian parole to be brought into the country temporarily. However, in all other cases, what the government has said is that they are looking at the situation, they're evaluating it, and they'll come out with their policy on that. And so it becomes very difficult. I've had so many people come up to me and ask about children who have been orphaned and what they can do to bring them here. Unfortunately, the way the U.S. immigration laws are structured, it only caters mainly to either immediate relatives who don't have to queue, like spouses, children, and parents of U.S. citizens, who usually have immigrant visas immediately available to them.
That's pretty restrictive. That's pretty restrictive. Maybe that's one reason for this news story that's around today of the 10 Americans who were detained by Haitian authorities for allegedly illegally trafficking kids after trying to bus 33 children across the border to the Dominican Republic. And who knows, maybe they were trying to traffic in kids, but the Americans say that they were just trying to set up an orphanage in the DR because of the overwhelming need.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so I think it's something that the U.S. government is going to address, because we've had so many stories about children being orphaned and they have relatives here who would like to take them in. But I think what people have to do is probably start the process of trying to petition for them, or trying to get their adoption papers done, so that at least they are in a queue. So that once the U.S. government is able to come up with a policy, they might be able to benefit from it.
Claudine in Spring Valley, you're on WNYC. Hello. Let me try that again. Claudine, I think we have you now. Claudine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I have a personal question regarding the TPS. Mm-hmm. I came here with visa, but my anani for my on the anani for I put my daughter's name instead of my name. I made a mistake. Now I'd like to know, should I be able to put the number on my form, or what should I do?
Okay, so you came in with an I-94.
With visa, yeah.
And you put your daughter's name on the I-94?
Yeah, we were together. I made a mistake. I filled the... Huh?
And what name is on your daughter's I-94?
Because she was born here.
Okay.
I filled the one paper for myself. But and her, I filled my I-94.
Her name is on hers and yours.
Yeah. No.
My name is on hers.
Oh, your name is on hers, and her name is on yours.
I filled the citizenship paper for myself. And
okay. How can she straighten that out at this point? Can TPS help her straighten that out and have legal status?
Well, Claudine, you need to go. Where do you live?
In Spring Valley.
In Spring Valley. So what you need to do is you need to – we have – two sites in Brooklyn this week, today and Wednesday, at 11 Livingston Street, 111 Livingston Street, on the 7th floor. If you come by, we can take a look at it and we can assist you with it.
Claudine, that's the best advice, is to try to get down to Brooklyn and otherwise contact an immigration lawyer, right? Because there are a number of organizations, Legal Aid Society, among the leading ones that are helping people, and that with that kind of detail, you'll probably have to speak to somebody in person. There's a fee. There's a daunting fee for getting temporary protected status, isn't there?
Yes, Brian, there's a fee. The application itself costs $50. Then there's a biometric fee, which is a fingerprinting fee of $80. And if the person wants an employment authorization document, the fee is $340, bringing it to a total of $470. However, there are a couple of differences here, and I'll just try and note it. Anyone between the ages of 14 to 65 who wants an employment authorization document would pay the full fee. Anyone between the ages of 14 to 65 who does not want an employment authorization document would only pay $130 because you're not paying for the employment authorization document fee. If the person is under 14, with or without an employment authorization document, the fee is $50.
Is there any sliding scale for income?
No. There's a fee waiver available. And for the fee waiver, one would have to show his last 3 months' expenses and also income. And out of that, one would have to look at it and see if his or her expenses are more than his income.
Sergey in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling. Is it Sergey or Serge?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question. I would like to ask, I have a niece who was given a visa and brought here 2 days after the earthquake. I would like to know if she is qualified or not.
Well, so, she was born here, then she's automatically a U.S. citizen, correct, Jojo?
If she was born here, then she's a U.S. citizen.
Born here, right, Serge?
No, she was born in Haiti, but she came in here with her brother. With the visa that they gave her in Haiti 2 days after.
2 days after.
Okay. So, and what's the brother's status?
The brother is American. The brother was born here.
The brother was born here.
Yeah.
So basically, how old is the child?
He's 6 or 7.
Okay. So what basically can happen is that he's not currently eligible for TPS because TPS is for people who were here proud to January 12th of 2010. But what he can do is he can still extend that visa when it's about to expire. He can still apply for an extension of the visa.
Okay. Serge, thank you. Are people in detention pending deportation eligible to apply for TPS?
People in detention who are pending deportation, provided they are eligible for it. Brian, what I did not mention was that there are some ineligibility factors, some criminal crimes, which make someone ineligible for TPS.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, anyone who has one felony or has two or more misdemeanors is ineligible for TPS. Anyone who has a controlled substance offense, either an admission or a conviction for a controlled substance offense, or what they also call a crime involving moral turpitude, which includes theft offenses, fraud offenses, sex offenses, is ineligible for TPS. So if someone is currently has a final order of deportation and is in detention, but is not barred from applying for TPS, that person could be released from prison because the government has decided not to remove Haitians who are subject to final orders back to Haiti. They may be released and they may be put on an order of supervision, meaning they have to report frequently to immigration authorities.
We're just about out of time, but
sure.
I don't see a web link to your event. So just use our last few seconds here to tell people where the next legal aid clinic is for Haitians seeking temporary protected status and what else they could do. We have 30 seconds.
Okay, so the next event is today and tomorrow. Today and Wednesday at 111 Livingston Street in Brooklyn. There's also an event on Saturday at PS 181. And we also have a
That's
hotline.
New York Avenue between Tilden and Snyder.
Yes, and we have a hotline for Haitian TPS. It's 1-888-284-2772.
1-888-284-2772. And
yes.
Jojo Annabelle, attorney in charge of the Legal Aid Society Immigration Law Unit, thank you very much for coming on. This has been very informative for many of our Haitian listeners. Thank you for your work.
Brian, thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.